Just a matter of note again, be careful going home, okay? We don't want anything to happen or whatever. Our God is a good God. Amen. There's no other one like him. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, amen. Remember this. Our God loves you. Remember that. Sometimes we forget about the love of God, and the world needs to be reminded that God loves them. God doesn't like some things that we do or whatever, but that's another avenue. But God loves the human race. Amen. God loves the human race. Doesn't matter what color, doesn't matter what color hair, doesn't whatever. The human being God has formed from the beginning, and God has created and loves us so dearly. Now, and especially, he loves the whole world, but I'll tell you, especially when we give our lives to him and we become his children. There's another step of love. You know, that's why we should never ever think that God will forsake his children. Never. God will never forsake his children. Ever. 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 It may seem like it. We may not be able to feel his presence all the time. But I tell you, we need to have faith in our God that he is in control and he knows what's going on. We had a great Thanksgiving service Tuesday. It was awesome. We had five pastors, was it? Five total. And I tell you, it was good. You know, there wasn't a lot of people, you know. But, you know, that's okay. You know, you do whatever. You get together and you have it and stuff. And so, but it was good. I felt the presence of the Lord. You know, when God speaks to you something, you know, we are to do the things that God tells us to do. And even when he speaks, and we're going to talk about some things of speaking to us. But even when God speaks to us and tells us, it's not the easiest thing to do. Huh? It's not. You know, when God says, I want you to go and talk to that person and share with them about me, about the Lord. Sometimes that's not the easiest thing. Sometimes it's not the easiest thing when God says, I want you to go and pray for somebody, or I want you to go and encourage somebody, or I want you to text this person and tell them about the love, my love for them, reminding them of how much he cares for them and how much he loves them. You know, at the Thanksgiving service, as I was sitting there, because we had no particular order, you know, of who was going first or who was going last, you know. Usually the last person is the one who's hosting it. That's how it really kind of goes. And, you know, just sitting there, and then finally one goes, another, and I was about to get up, and all my friend Troy got up, and I said, well, okay, Lord, I guess I'm going to be last with these four here. And you get up, and you just share about what God can do and who God is and being thankful and having the Spirit of the Lord into that place. It's an old church building, you know. It's nice inside, but it's an old church building. The Methodist church that hosted it this year. But, as after I finished speaking, one of the last ones, and then the new pastor of the Methodist church, which is a lady that they have, she's been there about 3 months, I think it is, or so. And today, that Tuesday, was the first time that I got to meet her face to face. And so I said, Lord, I mean, you know, move upon her. Help her to pastor, Lord God. I know how it is. Till you walk in the shoes of pastoring, you don't know. Until, you know, that's anything. Until you walk in the shoes of whatever job you do, people, you know, you can empathize and do, you know, because I know how hard it is. And I say hard. The Spirit of God is there and doing and working and moving. But it's still, you know, having to make decisions and do this and do that. And as she's speaking, the Spirit of the Lord said, I want you to pray over her. I said, oh my God. I said, Lord. I said, oh no, this is too hard for me. Not that I didn't, not that I didn't want to pray, but you all these people and you have these pastors and everybody's coming from a different perspective, different thing on things, and you're going, and more, and I tell you, and it just, I said, Lord, Lord, how are we going to do this? I mean, you just don't know, And so when she finished speaking, I just said, Pastor, because you see, I'm at their church, I'm under. That's how I feel. That's how I work things, And I said, Pastor, and she turned, and I said, I just want to welcome you to the group, and because we try to go eat once a month. I can't make it often because of work, but, and I said, I want to welcome you. And it touched her heart. She said, thank you. And I said, can we pray for you? And she was, yes, okay. She went in there, stood in the middle. And I think I was the only one that laid my hands on her. Oh, two. Okay. I wasn't sure. The other two stayed in the back, and they just kind of, and that's okay. And I said, well, Lord, what do you want? And just pray for her that God would sustain and help and move, give her the finances that she needs to do what needs to be done. And that was it. But you see, you don't know what God is doing beyond that, and you don't know the struggle maybe, what she's having, Because that's hard. That's a hard position. And so, but you see, what I'm telling you that for is not to lift, oh, look, God could have chose, hey, look, when God can choose a donkey or a rooster, he can choose anybody for anything, We should never get on the thing of being arrogant or prideful at all. We're thankful for the things because God can use whoever he wants and however he wants to do things. But it's like, okay, Lord, I said, Lord, I have to obey you. And I thank you for choosing me. But, Lord, I humbly come before you. And we prayed over her and asked God to move upon her life. And I'm telling you that to encourage you when God speaks things to your heart. It's like it's a nudging of the Spirit of God, and it won't let go. It won't let go because some things are urgent. Some things, if I wouldn't have said something, that timeline is gone. Yes, and never to be revisited again till next year. But who knows who will be there next year? You never know. But, as the Spirit of God moves upon your heart, God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you and is wanting to move within your heart and life. And I know, the one question that always people are constantly, I have to say, asking me is, how do you know when the Spirit of God is speaking to you? Because sometimes we have, the enemy can speak. We can speak sometimes, And so how do you know? Well, it always lines up, number one, with the Word. And we know just that example, praying over somebody, that lines up with the Word. It's a nudging from the inside where the Holy Spirit lives. It's nothing from this, but it's from here. And it's like a constant moving of the action of the Spirit of God working and saying, do this or do that, or don't do this or don't do that. That's God, the Holy Spirit, that God sent to us to lead us and guide us and to help us to do the work of the ministry here upon the earth. You have to understand, we are here, every one of us are here to do the work of our Father. Not the work of Pastor Joe, not the work of any other person, but the work of the Father here upon the earth as he uses human beings that he loves to give out that love towards other people and to help them to come into the full knowledge of Christ. and to do the work of the ministry here upon the earth. As Christians, our relationship with Him and doing what He wants should be number one.
Yes, amen.
Number one. Number one. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16, please. Starting at verse 21. And we do want to welcome everyone here who is watching by YouTube or Facebook today. We want to welcome you here, and we want to thank you for watching. And we pray the Spirit of God to be upon your heart and upon your life. Amen. Look at this. In Matthew chapter 16, look at starting with verse 21. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from you, Lord, this shall not be unto you. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are an offense unto me. For you savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You can see the same scriptures. You can read it the same in Luke chapter 9, starting with verse 21 to 24. Jesus is telling his disciples, and whenever Jesus was talking to his disciples, we are his disciples today. We've committed our hearts, our lives to the commission of the Father. We are his disciples. And when he says disciples, and he says unto them, he's really almost speaking unto us too. And he says unto them, he says, look at verse 24. And Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, you might say, well, denying oneself of what? Of your own personal will. Denying self of your own personal will. Denying self of what you want. As Christians, we are to die to self. Say, oh me and oh my. That's not an easy thing to do. That's not easy. To die to self. To die to self. And the selfish pleasures of what we want. Now that's not an easy thing. Hey, I'm telling you it's not easy. Because we want to be heard. We want to be seen. We want to say, hey, this is what I feel. This is what I... There's nothing wrong with voicing your opinion about things. But God is saying, die, deny yourself, die to yourself, die to your selfish pleasures, and take up my cross and follow me. Now that's some big statements there. That's some big words. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Denying self. That means we do what the Father wants. That means that we lay down our own lives and we take up the cross of Calvary. And we follow the cross. We follow God. We follow what He wants. We follow His desires. We follow what He wants in our hearts and in our lives. You know, sometimes God will speak, say no, because there are certain things in our lives, people, that are not good for us. Could be relationships, could be whatever it is. But when God speaks to you and says no, well, we need to listen and do the no part just as willing as we are listening to Him when He says the yes part of doing what He wants us to do. Denying ourselves, that doesn't mean we deny ourselves of the pleasures maybe of good food or something like that, unless he says it's too much. I don't know. He knows each and every one of us. He knows our weak areas. He knows our strengths. And so he says, deny yourself those things and put your faith in the cross of Calvary. Take up the cross. Take up what God has in store for us. Take up those things. Deny yourself. Take up the cross. And what? Follow me. I think sometimes in Christendom, and that puts the whole church, whatever it is, I think they follow in Christ, but on their own terms. They're following Christ, some people, on their own terms. What they say is right, is right. What they say is wrong, is wrong. And that's not so correct, because some logical things that we think are correct may not be correct. You know? And so we have to take up the fullness of the cross of Calvary. Look to what Christ did at the cross, bringing victory to every aspect of our lives, leaving it down, just as the woman went to Jesus and disciples told her, get out of here. And she looked at him, and he even looked at her and said, you know, should I give you the meat that belongs to my people, the Jews? He was talking about the Jews and the disciples and stuff. And she said, okay, Lord, but even the crumbs that fall down from the table, that I can eat. And he said, such faith I have never seen in all the world. And he did what she asked. You see, faith moves our God. Faith in what he can do and who he is moves God. You might say, well, does God get angry? Oh, he gets angry. We think of God just up there laughing, and you know, he does what he wants. He's in charge. But he gets angry. You know what he gets angry at? Sin. Because he gave his best for the world. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, people that are struggling in certain areas, because we all struggle in certain areas, huh? I know that. But Christ has broken the bondage of sin upon Calvary's cross. And God is saying, I've given you my best. Take up that, what he's done. Take up the victory that he's won. That means, like he's saying, Joe, put your faith in what he has done for you, my son. Talking about Jesus, what Jesus did at the cross. You see, that's where we got to put our faith, deny ourselves. You know, the scripture says, resist the devil and what? He'll flee from us. We can't resist the devil just on our own. There's no way possible. He's too strong. But we can resist him when our faith is in Christ and what he has done for us. We can resist that temptation. We can resist those things that are trying to entangle us and destroy us in our minds or in our hearts. That we can put our faith in Christ and what he did, and God can bring victory no matter what. There's nothing too hard that God cannot break in your heart and in my heart. Zero. Deny yourself, saying, Lord, I put myself aside, Lord. And my desire is to be with you and to do your will. Take up the cross of Calvary. Look to the cross, that banner. And we stay under the shadow of the Almighty. And he protects us, leads us, and guides us. And then he says, follow me. Oh, my God. God says, look, follow me. Follow me. We can look at scriptures. We can look at men and women that have followed God and what God did in their hearts and in their lives. The miracles, the signs, the wonders of what God did in their hearts and in their lives. My God, there's no other God like your God. There's no other one like him. There isn't anything too hard that God cannot solve. There isn't anything too hard that God can't give you a plan to overcome it, using his word and using his anointing and his power. There isn't anything too hard that God cannot solve in this world for the children of God. He can do it. He can do it. We got to lay our lives before him. We got to take up his commission and we got to follow him. That doesn't mean we'll be perfect, but we follow the ways of our God. That means we look in his word and we try to find everything we can about our God, trying to learn who he is, trying to learn who he is, trying to learn who he is so that we have a heart for him like never before. You want to know why he told Gideon, hey, have your men drink from that water? Because he knew most of them could care less about the mission. And the ones that did it right according to what God told him, he kept. The other ones he sent home. A divided heart never plays well with God. A divided heart. Saying, I want a little bit of the world. I want a little bit of God. That doesn't play well with God. Our hearts need to be sold out to him. And look, you might say, Pastor, how do I do that? Get alone with God, people. Get with him. Share your heart with him. He already knows it. And say, Father, forgive me for going astray a little bit. Forgive me for the way that I think sometimes. Forgive me, Lord, for my actions maybe, what I have done. Forgive me for all these things, Lord. But, Lord, I dedicate my life to you again. Dedication. Dedicate to him. The mission of our God is so important, people. We have some great organizations around the world that do great and mighty things. I mean, you know, great things from feeding children to feeding people, building homes, water and giving water, the building wells. And I mean, just great things. But the greatest commission has been given by our God to his people. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. The full gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. To see the mighty God moving in a way that he wants to move. Seeing God move like we've never seen before. I've been praying, Lord, pour out your spirit upon us, Lord. We need a touch from you, Lord. We need a touch from God like we've never seen before. Now look at this. If you would, turn to, let's see. Mark chapter 8, please. Mark chapter 8. Matthew, Mark chapter 8. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Look at starting with verse 1, please. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude. You know, compassion, as you can see, he loved the people. Amen. He loved them. Have compassion. Show a little compassion. I know Because there are a lot of people out there that will do whatever it takes to steal a dollar. I mean, that's the truth, people. I mean, you know, to take whatever. But you know what? There are a lot of people out there that are truly are hurting. Yes. Truly are hurting. Not, you know, financially, maybe, whatever, but in every way that are truly hurting. You know, being led by the Spirit of God, let the compassion of God's Holy Spirit be upon your heart and upon your life. I remember one day, Jelaine and I, we were going to a church service in Crowley. Years ago, probably 15 years ago. And we decided to go eat we wanted to go somewhere else, and ended up, I think it was Taco Bell, finally, in the end, right before church, because we had worked and, you know, whatever, trying to eat before going. And, you know, as we were in there, there was a guy that walked in, and he went to the counter, you know, and you're eating and you kind of whatever, but he just caught my attention. Just kind of, you know, he had a backpack and just whatever. And he asked the people if they had some food that they could just give him. You know, that he just stuff maybe that wasn't even, you know, they were going to throw away, or just he didn't ask specifically for them to make it right then, but just anything that they. And I understand, being right next to the interstate, you probably have all kinds of people walking and wanting stuff for free, and you kind of get like, you know, no, whatever. But my heart, I said, oh, the Spirit of God. I said, Lord. And he, and they told him no, and he was about to walk out, and I got up, and I said, you need something to eat? He said, yeah. So I said, well, what do you want? You know, we'll get. And I said, what about what to drink? He said, I'd love some milk. I said, well, you can have it. I said, definitely. He said, can I have two? He said, I haven't had it in so long. And I said, sure. You know, they gave it to him, paid for it. He walked out. And from what I understood, he went towards the interstate, probably just in that area. And I said, Lord, I wonder how many people are praying for this young man. I bet you he had a mother or a father or brothers or sisters praying for him. Because you see, God will do whatever it takes. Let compassion flow from you. I know there are people on the street corners, you know, You want to tell them, go get a J-O-B. And that's the truth, a lot of them. Because they just, I'm hungry. But, you know, you don't want to be used. And I don't want to throw God's money away. I don't want to be used and abused upon. And I understand that. But people, we need to realize this. There are some people truly in a desperate state. And God had compassion upon us over 2,000 years ago. Over 2,000 years, he had compassion and said, the only way is the shedding of my son's blood. Perfect, no sin, no evil, perfect before me, never sinned for us. And seeing the power of God and the thankfulness. You know, he didn't ask for money. Because he could have said, well, can I have some money? I want to go down the road and get. No. But he's just food. Bought that, let him go. You see, and I know you could probably count on the many times God has used you to touch somebody's heart and life. Huh? How many times God allowed you to be the one to give whatever you had to help that individual? And how God, the Holy Spirit, you walked away saying, Lord, thank you for using me. But always remember, don't let arrogance and pride set in. Because he can use whoever and whatever. He uses us because we are our children. But let me tell you, it's only by God's grace and mercy. You know, we look at this building and I'm astonished. Because I know this is not the last one. By far. But I'm astonished to come from zero. Zero. When I say zero, I mean zero upon negative zero to zero. And what God has done in 12 years. 12 years. And he can use, God, you know, can use whoever he wants to use in building his kingdom and doing what needs to be done. We need to realize that it's not us, but it's him. It's not us, but it's him using whoever he wants. Have compassion a little bit. Let God, you know what God wants and what God is. And if you know, God the Holy Spirit can tell you. That's just like, you know, you see something on preachers or whoever asking for money, this and all that stuff. You know what's true and what's not. You know who's the hireling or the pastors. You know who is true and right before God. And God will speak to you. That's why you don't ever, if you feel uncomfortable, don't give, people. Give where you know you can trust the people. And you know they've been called by God. Have compassion. But look at this. Let's get to the verse 3. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers or many of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. He broke and gave to his people to send them to set before them. And they had a few small fish, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. And they did eat and were filled, and they were took up of the broken meat, the bread, that was 7 baskets. And they who had eaten were about 4,000. Here we see a miracle of 4,000 people eating on 7 loaves and few fish. And here we see in another scripture in Mark, it talks about 5,000 that were fed. That's a miracle of God, people. A miracle of God. But it says that he took that bread. It's an amazing thing. He took it. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it. He took it. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it. Just like our lives. He took us. He blessed us. He breaks us, because we have to be broken before him. And he gives us a way. Your life is not your own. We like to think of it that way, but we're not our own. God gave his son. He took us. He blessed us. He broke us. And he gave us away. God is looking to break some things in our hearts and in our lives so that he gets all the praise, the glory, and the honor in all the things that are done. And you know, it's not an easy process. You know, we say a prayer and we give our hearts to the Lord. And you know, it's he starts to bless us and we get excited, you know. And we want the blessings of the Lord, because as the more we're blessed, the more we can give to the church, the more we can give to help people throughout wherever, you know. That's just how it happens. Then he starts to break us, and that's the hard part, huh? Break us. Break us, Lord. And it's not easy to be broken before him. And you know what's an amazing thing? We're to stay in the broken state forever. Till he comes again, then we don't have to worry about that. We're perfect before him. But to stay broken before him, to stay humble before him, to stay pliable before him, you know, so that he can give us a way to the people. Because you see, he's looking to share who he is with the people. He's looking to share who he is so that we can become like him. Broken before him and able to give out to the people. that need the help from the Father. And so here God is looking to do a mighty work in all of our hearts and lives, people. You know, it says, stay on the altar, you know, as the sacrifice is being sacrificed. Stay on the altar. Let him burn those things that need to be burned out. Let him take out those things that need to be taken out. And let him put in those things that need to be put in. You know, like I said earlier, it's a constant state that we have to stay there. We have to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and constantly follow our God. It's a constant path of when we first got born again, we start to follow him. We have to stay on that path. We get into trouble when we take a left and we shouldn't take a left. Or we take a right and we shouldn't take a right. What needs to happen, we need to get back on track of all our lives, everything to everything. He needs to be number one in our homes, in our churches, on our jobs for us, in our finances, everything. He needs to be number one. And you might say, well, how do I do that? Keep pursuing God. Keep pursuing him. Stay on that altar. Let him take things out and take things out. Take things out. We shouldn't have bitterness or strife or anger towards somebody. Hey, and I'm not saying that they don't deserve it. Because some things that people do to us hurts. But God gave us forgiveness. We got to hand out forgiveness. And it's not an easy thing, but it's the most beneficial to the human race. God says we're to forgive 70 times 70 a day. I mean, that just means endless. That doesn't mean that you won't be bruised in the process of things. Bruised. You know, a bruise, how long does a bruise stay there? The older you get, the longer it stays. It goes from all colors to all colors. And finally, one day after a few months, it goes away. But it's there. That's just like our hearts. When something happens, it bruises. Not good. But you know what? We need to always remember this. Our God loves us so much. As we follow him, he protects us. Protects us spiritually, protects us physically, will protect us. You can trust him with your heart and life. You can trust him with everything you have within you. Deny yourself. Take up that cross and follow him. And let just things fall off. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy. Oof. That doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. Ooh. You know, I've never had a major surgery done on my body. You know, like heart surgery or, you know, any surgery is surgery, but I'm talking about a major surgery that have to stay in the hospital quite a bit of time. It takes a lot to recover. You know, it takes quite a bit. I mean, they have you up and walking in the same day or the next day, but you up and walking, but it takes a lot to recover. Even in the process of serving God, when he takes things out, he puts the Holy Spirit in to heal those areas of our hearts and lives. And sometimes it just takes a while to recover. But you're on the recovering process, and that's what we want. You see? That's what we want. To keep looking to our God, denying ourselves, taking up his cross. Not our cross. We don't bear crosses, people. That's from the pit of hell. That does not make sense. It doesn't line up with the word. Taking up your own cross. This is my cross to bear. You know, all that stuff. That's not correct. The only cross there is was on Calvary's cross. And that's the one we look to help us, to save us, to give us guidance. Our God, our Lord, and our Savior. And follow him, people. Just follow him. Just follow him. You know, it seems like, and I'm about to close. It seems like everywhere Jesus went, there was a crowd following him. You know, I mean, at one time he even told his disciples, he finally got away with a few of them, and he said, stay here and pray. I need to go by myself and pray. Because he was so enthroned with people. I mean, when he started to heal people, he was bringing some kind of life into the people. And the people that needed healing, they were seeing what was happening. They saw how people were fed. 4,000, 5,000 people healed, you know, all everywhere. Eyesight, legs, I mean, all kinds of stuff. They just thronged him because they knew he had the answer, the regular people. Now, the religious people, they all got together to kill him. And you know what? We know that's why Jesus came. His mission was to die. He had to die. He had to. He did it for us. Follow him with everything within you. This is the Christmas season, people. You know, we talk about the birth of Christ. December starts the Christmas season. Keep Christ first. You're going to have all kinds of temptations come your way, especially at parties of all kinds. You know, and they'll offer, and you know, some people just offer things trying to be polite. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't want nobody left out. Some people, it's not that way. They just want to see you if you take it or not. But stay away from things that will cause you harm. Stay away from things that will cause you, your testimony to be diminished. Okay. It's the Christmas season. Let's celebrate God sending his son. God sending his son. And have a great Christmas time. Amen. Amen. You may stand, please. Amen. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. I want to ask you a very important